pictures of what he looked like. And dude, he looked scary. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, for God so loved the world. God loves us on good days. God loves us on bad days. God loves us on difficult days. God loves us when we were out there somewhere, a train wreck. He never stopped loving us. Would you lift your hand and give him praise for that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your love, your consistent love, your durable love. The reason why I referred to Brother Scott, and I don't know if you caught this. I mean, he got to a certain point and he said, you know, we were like needing to go to church. He said it was like about 4 years before we made a commitment. But this is what really spoke to me. He said, have you ever noticed this? Before you really make a commitment, you try to go to church and your car won't start. You try to go to church and you can't find any clothes that look like they're worthy of wearing to church. And ladies and gentlemen, I've tried to encourage people, listen, if you come in your garage overhaul, I mean, that's all right with me, just you being, and others have said, I'm coming from work, and I say, that's grand, that's awesome, come as you are. It's not about your clothes, it's about the love of God and the power of God and the presence of the Lord moving on us and touching us and healing us and helping us. Lift your hand. Let's give God praise for his love, his durable love, his consistent love. Oh, yeah. Scott went on to say, when you're just trying to do this in yourself, your alarm clock dies. Everything goes wrong and it seems so hard to get to church. He says, until you make a commitment. Did you catch that when he was, Sister Jess, did you catch that? Am I saying it accurately? It was about 4 years and they were making these efforts, you know, to get in church and nothing seemed to work and all of this crazy stuff going on. And then finally they made a commitment to God to be in church and to live for God. And when they did that, tell me if I'm saying it right, all of a sudden everything started falling into place. I think the biggest fear in the world is the fear we have of making a commitment. And yet it's really the only thing that makes everything work. I mean, I'm thinking, what, 42 years? Would you, I'm going to have my girlfriend stand. Whoa, Jack. Pray for me. Pray for me. I don't know if I can preach now. I just want to go out and have a date. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, we've had high waters. We've had floods, personal floods. We've had tragedies. We've had all kinds of things happen to us. But I believe we're closer than we've ever been in 42 years, because 42 years ago, I signed a document. Oh, hallelujah. And I made some vows and I said some things that I meant, and so did she. And here we are celebrating 42 years with a beautiful church and some amazing people. Everything goes better when the heart of it, when the nucleus of it is built around a commitment. Come on now, wave your hand to the Lord. Give him praise. He is the one that makes it work. Hallelujah. One of my favorite football coaches. I'm sure we don't have any football lovers here, right? Forgive us for lying, Lord. But one of my favorite was Vince Lombardi. That amazing Italian who led the Green Bay Packers to win the first two Super Bowls. What a great trainer. What a great coach he was. And he said this, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence. And those words grab my heart. Sometimes while we're wrestling with this fear of commitment. We don't understand all that it does for us. We had an opportunity several years ago to travel to Seoul, Korea, a little village of about 12 million. And Sister Vicky, you know the Kellys, right? Brother and Sister James Kelly. Brother Kelly passed away, a couple years ago or so. But I had the chance. Of course, we know her as Mom Kelly. She's like a mom to us, my wife and I. And with every, you know, Mother's Day, we got to get that call in to Mom Kelly. She went with us. Well, Brother Mike, I had this vehicle that was like my main, it was my main story because we had been evangelizing and traveling. And I don't know if you're like this, but I have this deal about somebody else driving my car around. You know, like, well, if I park this somewhere, Brother Fred, you know, like, if you said to somebody, here, take my car and you can have it for a few days, I'm going to be in Korea. And you better give the right person those keys, you know, because you do want to see your car again. You know, you really do want to see it. And you'd like to see it looking, you know, decent the way that you left it. So anyway, finally, Sister Linda, Jonathan Kelly, Brother Kelly's son, was pastor there. And so I turned the keys over to him, you know, and he's a good man of God and loves the Lord. And I've never done anything quite like this. I was going, my car is almost like my child. Sometimes I call it names, and I'm not talking about profanity, but you know, have these little nicknames and so on, you know. Wasn't it Davy Crockett whose gun was named Betsy, his rifle? So anyway, so we're over there. We have this amazing conference. We had to take off our shoes and put on these little slippers, you know, and they were kind of feminine looking, I thought. But anyhow, that's the culture, wear these little slippers when you come up on the platform. I get happy in the Holy Ghost and kick them off, you know, and they go flying. I get happy in the Spirit of God. They, you know, it was a great time. Praise God. And so we're coming back, and we're flying back into the D.C. area. D.C. stands for darkness and confusion. And anyhow, we're coming in, and I'm a little bit worried about my vehicle, how it fared, you know, and was it just left outside, you know, during the inclement weather? Well, how was it treated and so on? And so he pulls it up to us, and I could barely recognize it. He had it detailed. It was shining. You could comb your hair by looking into the shine, inside and out. He had my vehicle detailed. In other words, when I committed that vehicle into his keeping, he took better care of it than I did. And I want to tell you this about the heart of God and the love of God. Sometimes we worry, oh, if I really dedicate myself, I don't know, it might be a downhill thing. If I really turn loose and get committed to God and his kingdom, somebody might hurt my heart. Or I want to tell you something awesome about God. Whatever you commit to him, he takes better care of it than you can. Oh, praise God. Come on now, let's magnify him. When you dedicate your life to him, when you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to honor you, I'm going to give myself to you, then God watches over what you've committed to him and takes better care of it than you can. Got all busted up yesterday when I heard about my district superintendent. He was still alive, but they weren't sure that he could live much longer. And when I got the word, I'd been out on my prayer roads. And I got a great and deep grief in my heart because I've been committed to praying for him every day. My little alarm goes off at 8:15 every morning, no matter what I'm doing. The little alarm goes off. Pray for Norman Pasley. It's been going off for, I guess, months now. And so it broke my heart, and I had to start you know, processing, because they said if he lives 24 hours, maybe 48, the longest. You know, it we don't know, but it's things are winding down different ways that the messages went out. But it just so happened that in minutes, we were going to have an outreach right here on Saturday, yesterday. And I knew I wanted to be there. I wanted to be involved and be an encouragement. Yet I had to process all of this. And then there was some other business that we stepped into to try to be a blessing and encouragement to people. And I was making calls as I was tearing down the road and a lot of things on my heart. My district superintendent dying and emergencies and crises and trying to make a little bit of a difference. Maybe not much, but as much as I could. We went out on a little campaign. We got together with Angela and Amber and Madison and Melanie and MJ and we went out with these little baggies with a little document in there, a little flyer and a little candy in there. And I said, I want to go over to the Asian buffet. Of course, I like, you know, Fred, we like to go there anyhow, don't we? We were there Sunday. But we want to just walk around the parking lot. I'll drop you guys off and come back. All right, so we're out there for the first time. We've done this officially, right, in months. This doesn't happen very often. And Melanie was with me, and she was the perfect one to have with me because she's so outgoing and such a happy child. And if she ever gives you samples of her gum or her candies, do not take them, okay? Just smile at her and cheer her on. Oh, praise God. Anyway, she's so much fun. But anyhow, we got to canvass in that parking lot. And I mean, we probably, I get so excited about soul winning, so excited about reaching out. Because it's a passion in my heart. I'm here because somebody taught me their first home Bible study. The very first one they taught to my family. And out of that family came three preachers, and we're all preaching the same one God, Jesus' name, gospel today. Because somebody came to our house and presented the scriptures in a Bible study format with large charts. First time ever. Actually, as far as we can compute, and many of you know this, the first time we can compute in Pentecostal history a Bible study taught from the scriptures and from charts. And I was a part of that outreach. Oh, praise God. So ever since that day, and they, of course, they went out to knock on doors during that Bible study. And we went out with them to knock on doors. It was kind of at first a scary thing. Then it became extremely fun and enjoyable. Something about reaching out to others. Here's what I feel challenged to say to you as I move to a close. I don't want to preach very long today. I think that many times we dabble in stuff like soul winning. And the reason why it's not become a passion is because we've never made a commitment to it. Now, let me tell you what happened to me. I want to share with you some stuff that's happened to me this week. I love Walmart. Forgive me, Jesus. I love you. I like Walmart. And as I was coming through Walmart the other day, after being out in my prayer roads, and it was cold, I had my raggedies on. I wasn't really, you know, I don't care what I look like. That's not the deal. The deal is to get out on my prayer roads and get some prayer in and talk to God before I shower and put on the nice duds and everything. I just don't really care that much what I, my wife loves the way I look. Did you hear it? Help him, Jesus. I call him my raggedies. I just throw on a shirt and I got my quilted vest and then I got this old black leather coat and I got my prayer hat and my blue jeans. I'm in my element. Praise God. I look scary. Hallelujah. It's awesome. And I'm going through a Walmart, and right inside the door was this lady, and I'm in and out of Walmart a lot, so I don't ever remember seeing her. And it was cold. It was in the 20s. And she had a little scarf around her head and tied under her chin, and her nose was kind of red. And she had a shopping basket and a piece of luggage and some other, I think her whole world was in her shopping basket. And as I passed her the first time, I said something like, "Boy, it sure is cold out there, isn't it?" And then as I left her and walked through the store, I couldn't get her out of my mind. As a matter of fact, like an elephant sitting on my brain, even after I had gathered up a few things and paper, I was trying to think, what can I do for her? I need to do something to bless her. What can I do for her? I couldn't, for some reason, figure out. Everything wasn't open, I guess, yet. And some of the things were around there in the store. And, you know, some of these stores are almost like little shopping centers. But anyhow, so I'm still walking out, and I see her again. And I don't remember ever having seen her till that morning. She was there. She was just inside the doors. It was cold, really, really cold out. And she was hunkered down in a coat and her scarf and all her worldly belongings in a shopping basket. And I just couldn't figure out what I could do for her. And so I got in my car and I was trying to drive home. And I couldn't get her out of my mind. You remember that scripture where Jesus describes the purpose of his ministry in life? In Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save." By the way, look at that word come, C-O-M-E. The C-O-M is the first part of the word commit. Even the word choice here. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know what? I've got people here. If I turn Darlene loose, she has a bigger vision for our church than most of us. She would tell you that the Holy Ghost has talked to her about our church and what he has in our future. I know that's mind-blowing. I'm half inclined, if you egg me on, to give her the microphone. But she sees a revival breaking out through this church. She sees miracles and manifestations of the Holy Ghost in this church. Isn't it amazing that new people can come in and have a larger vision than we do? When I was talking to Fred and we were brainstorming the other night after Wednesday's service, so enjoyed Brother Scott and his amazing testimony, and we're brainstorming, and all of a sudden he starts to articulate a vision that he has and begin to almost prophesy. There's coming great growth. Hallelujah. And he said, "I don't mean years. I don't mean in years. I'm not talking about years down the road. We're going to come into some great growth." Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to challenge you to ask God if he would help you make soul winning a passion and a commitment. The way that everything works. You know, when we just sort of float around and never make a decision and never make a commitment, nothing works good on that basis. Nothing. Right? They don't even want to treat your lawn without you signing a contract. Right? So I'm driving down Buckeye Parkway and I can't get this precious lady off my mind. And I was like, should I go back? Should I keep going? Should I keep driving? Should I go back? And finally, I got a brainstorm. Now, sometimes my brainstorm's just a light drizzle. You know, it's not the full storm. And anyway, I called Walmart, Gina. And I said, "Hey, there's a lady there. And she's inside the door." And this lady knew who I was referring to. "Oh, yeah, I guess she's there often. First time I'd ever seen her." I tried to set it up to where they would buy her a meal, Cody, right around the corner from where she sat there at the Subway shop. "I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that." man, really, I will reimburse you. You know, I was going to give them my credit card number, pay for the meal. They just couldn't do that. I found out only today she's been barred from coming into that Subway for no good reason at all. Okay. So I said to Carrie, would you take her some cash? I don't care what it is. I will be back later today to reimburse you for whatever it is. Have you ever read that scripture that says something about he who turns away from the poor shall have many a curse? You ever read that one? Scary. I happen to believe what it says there in Proverbs. So I said, well, Carrie, listen, can you just... She said, yeah, I give her a dollar, you know, now and then, and she just takes care of herself, and she's a nice lady. And I said, okay, wonderful, but could you get her some money, and I'll come back later today to reimburse you? And she agreed on that. And then, I don't know, a whole bunch of things were happening, and I didn't make it back that night. So I got back the next day, and they said, Carrie's not working today. She'll be back tomorrow, which is today. So... Anyway, she'd gotten her a little bit of money. And so I came in this morning. I put it on my, as a reminder, on my rebellious iPhone. My bizarre, insane, dysfunctional iPhone that I dearly love. You say, what are you talking about? He didn't call me to just pastor this church. He called me to love people. He called me to bless people. He called me to step into their lives and make a difference. Do you know what I'm talking about? One of the reasons why some of us never win anybody is because we're not committed to winning anybody. We're not committed to doing unusual things or extraordinary things. We're just going to be generic and vanilla and sort of go along. But I don't believe that this is a go-alongism gospel. God wants you and me to get involved in loving people and doing something extraordinary for those who don't have the blessings and the privileges that we've got. Is this too loud? Is this is more powerful. I try to be tame. It just lasts about 2 minutes. Man, I found her today, Gina. I found her. I've been looking for her every day since. Okay, so the last few days looking for this lady. Didn't know what her first name was. Carrie didn't know what her first name was. Right. And I found her. And she was there again. Sister Peggy just inside the door. And I began to just converse with her. And tell her, you know, the other day when Carrie slipped you some money, that was me trying to help you and be a blessing. And she just started talking to me. Just as sweet and darling as anybody that you would know. And before long, I got her first name. It's Nancy. And I was able to slip her a little finance. And we talked about some different things for her future. And then finally, I don't know how this happened, I let her know I was a pastor. And she wanted to know about the church. And I pulled out the church card. And I told her I'd be looking for her every day now. Just, I refuse to be a professional Pentecostal. I refuse to be an ivory tower apostolic. I refuse to go through the motions. I refuse sophisticated righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'd like to challenge you to get involved. I've asked people, what is the key word this year? And they shout, pursuit. Remember what Luke 19:10, what he said? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So my question is, who are you running after? Who are you presently crying over? Who are you pursuing to bring them to a relationship and a friendship with God? Would you lift your hands and let's ask him to put somebody's name, somebody's face, somebody's life on our hearts right now. Hallelujah. The biggest fear in the world is the fear of commitment. But oh, the blessings. Oh, the authority, the power that's generated when we make a commitment to God and when we make a commitment to people. Hallelujah. Before I left her, I asked permission to give her a hug. Have I told you about my new friend? Her name is Nancy. And I am going to be looking for her by the grace of God. I'm going to love her before she ever comes here. And if she never comes here, I'm going to be loving her and watching over her. Because he said in the what, the great what, commission, what are the first three letters of commission? C-O-M, the same three letters of the word commit. There is no great commission without commitment. He didn't say, go you all you preachers into the world. He said it to the church, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why did he say every creature? You know, he could have said to every person, couldn't he? Wouldn't that have been legit? If he had said, go preach it to every person. But I believe he said creature because he was hinting you might find a few. I'm not sure that Scott might not have qualified for this. If we'd seen, any of you seen pictures of what he looked like in those days when he was in witchcraft? And it might be hard to maybe sometimes think of somebody that's so train wrecked you can't recognize their humanness. And he said, we'll call them a creature, but I want you to preach to them too and love them too. Anybody tracking me? We talk a lot about soul winning at times, but I want to ask you to make a commitment about it. I'm going into the post office over here in Grove City. Somebody talked about my southern accent. I said, yeah, I live in Southern Grove City. On the south end of Grove City is the southern suburb, and then I live on the south end of the southern suburb. So there's obvious going to be southern in my speech. And of course, you know that I've lived in Virginia and other places in the south. But anyhow, I had fun with that a day or two ago. Praise God. And I'm going into the post office, and there, standing there outside the door, was a gentleman in a nice coat and blue jeans. And he was... offering this street speech to folks that would donate. He had a big bucket there. First, I didn't even see the bucket at first. And so it's been a while since I've seen this. And this is a special newspaper for the homeless. And so I didn't even go in the door. I walked straight over to him and started talking to him about what he was doing, started throwing money in his bucket and talked to him about what an awesome thing, and shared with him my story with Nancy as it had developed up to that point. And all of a sudden he started getting happy. And I started telling him, I'm so proud of you and what you're doing here. I am so proud of you. He said, you don't know how you're making me feel. You just don't know how you're making me feel. Then he pulled out a handkerchief or something and started dabbing his eyes. You know what we do many times? We are too busy to love people. We are too busy to impact people. God wants to triple this church. He wants to quadruple this church. We got to get in the business of evangelism and witnessing and soul winning and making it a commitment. So I made a new friend. His name's Billy. And I'm going to be looking for Billy. And of course, my signature, I had to put a big hug on him before I left him. But he was laughing and his eyes were dancing and he was crying all at the same time. I challenge you, but you shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Who have you been loving? Who have you been touching? Who have you been caring about? As our musician comes and we open our hearts for a few moments, I want to challenge you that everything runs on the engine of commitment, committing ourselves to God, committing ourselves to His name and His word and His purposes, and committing ourselves to outreach, to living and loving and crying with people much less fortunate than we have been. Today, would I be so bold? God has dealt with me about this. Never preach something and not give my people a chance to commit themselves to it. My wife was listening to, I guess it was like a video clip of a man who is retiring, but he's been pastoring one of the largest churches in the country. I don't even know how many they run. I believe it's 15, 20, 25,000. I've lost count. I've been there. Years ago, very touched with what was happening there. Very moved by the word. My wife said she watched them worship, and their worship reminded her of us. Praise and worship. And they were talking to Bill Hybels, and he made this statement. He said, the biggest reason we exist is to bring our friends to God. And when she shared that like a heat-seeking missile, it went to my heart. That's why we're here. Not to just do church. And I love church. I love everything about preaching and teaching and worship and people and friendships. I love doing church. But beyond all of that, the biggest reason we exist is to bring our friends to God. And so I've been adopting people. I've got people, some new people now that I'm going to be the angel in their life. And I'm going to make sure that they're okay. And I'm going to see if I can help them along. And yes, I'm going to see if I can get them to church. But if they never come here, it won't change my love one iota. Would you lift your heart to God and let me say to you that a commitment to the lost, a commitment to the harvest, a commitment to somebody. Is there anybody that you'd love to see in the church living for God? Is there anybody you've been praying for and you'd walk down here and carry their name and carry a picture of them in your heart and you would commit yourself to them in a spiritual sense, to be a voice, to be a light? Is there anybody here that God perhaps is talking to about dedication, about consecration? You can't do it in yourself, but when we give ourselves to Him, all things are possible to Him that believeth. Is there anybody that you're watching over? Is there anybody that you're caring for? Is there anybody that you lovingly minister to, that needs your voice, that needs your heart, that needs your God? Oh, Father, right now we pray as we open this altar, Lord, give us a passion. Give us, I pray, Lord, give us a burden for somebody. Give us a baptism. baptism of love, Lord. Would you give us a desire, Lord, to commit to you, to be a passionate witness, to be a passionate influence for righteousness. Oh, today, let today be the beginning of days. Oh, Father, let today be, hallelujah, a special time in somebody's heart. Would you reach over and pray with somebody that might be near you? Would you reach over and maybe, if it's appropriate, hallelujah, put your hand on their arm or shoulder and pray blessing and grace down on them? Would you reach around? Would you reach over? Would you be aware of somebody that's near you? Because God is alive and active in this house. God is here. Hallelujah. And he wants to help somebody. He wants to reach somebody. He wants to heal somebody. Oh God, we pray right now. Pour your grace out. Pour your grace out. Lord, you gave us power to become witnesses. Hallelujah. You gave us power to become witnesses. Lord, we commit to you. Lord, we pray together. Oh.